This is exactly right.
On the 12th season of Tenfold More Wicked, we investigate a series of compelling mysteries from the city of Fall River, Massachusetts, where problems started generations before Lizzie Borden's murders made her a household name. Join me as we cover the misfortunes that have befallen this infamous town for more than 150 years, including the Great Fire of 1843. Season 12 premieres Monday, May 13th on Exactly Right. Follow Tenfold More Wicked on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Favorite murder.
The Minisode.
The Minisode.
That's Georgia Hartstark.
That's Karen Kilgariff. And these
Stephen's
over there.
Stephen Ray Morris is laying all the way down flat in his area.
And these are your letters that you've sent us that we appreciate so much. I got so many good ones this week that I just love them. I'll read some next week. They were so good.
Everybody's good at it now. Everybody knows how to tell a story.
Uh-huh.
I mean, that's just kind of, you know, a natural thing. Most people know how to tell a story. People are getting good at injecting their own personalities in.
They can write a good email. Maybe everyone's learning. Yeah.
Do you want to go first this week? Since you're so stoked?
Let's
get in there.
Do it. What a great idea. Okay. This just says, hello.
Oh, hello.
Hello. I'm writing to you from my in-laws' house in Southern Oregon. Since I'm working remotely due to COVID, my husband and I decided to leave Los Angeles for a while and hunker down up here. It's been so great to have a change of scenery in this beautiful area. I fucking bet. Every time I come here to visit my husband's hometown near Ashland, Oregon, we always talk about the unsolved murder that happened almost 10 years ago. At the time, my husband was attending college at Southern Oregon University, which is located in Ashland, home of the Oregon Shakespeare Festival.
Yes, I went there when I was 12 and it changed my life. Yes.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
That's
it was amazing.
Horrible. It feels pretty magical in that town. Lots of trees, little squirrels, locals on bikes, and cute shops to walk around. So the story goes. In November 2011, a young man named David Grubbs was heading home from a shift at a local grocery store, just a few blocks away from the outdoor theater where the Shakespeare actors perform, often in elaborate costumes and prop swords for fighting on stage. As darkness fell that night, the 23-year-old who was walking home on the bike path was brutally attacked. When someone came up upon his body, they discovered his head was nearly chopped off. Upon official investigation, the autopsy revealed that David died of sharp force trauma from a finely honed blade longer than a typical knife. The popular theory being that he was decapitated with a sword. Ashland police have worked on this case for years and still don't have the answer to who killed David. The connection between the Shakespeare Festival and the possible use of a sword as the weapon is not confirmed, but certainly has painted a haunting legend around his murder. It's so sad. I really can't imagine such a brutal act of violence happening to anyone I love. In case this ends up being read, Crime Stoppers of Southern Oregon would love to hear tips anyone may have. I have no...
That's good to know.
Shakespeare Festival. I have no affiliation except that my heart breaks every time we drive through Ashland and I remember the story of David. I've read that police are still searching for any witnesses, details, or knowledge that hasn't yet been reported. Thanks for sharing the amazing stories of your listeners. I learn such interesting things each week, and I'm grateful for this consistent source of joy and curiosity. Stay sexy and stay far away from swords. And there's no name.
Now, can you just read again what year that crime took place so that if anybody does have a memory or something, they can call to Crime Stoppers of Southern Oregon and give information?
Yes, it was 2011. And it sounds like the Shakespeare Festival must have been going on if... That's
which means it's summertime.
Yeah.
Summertime 2011.
Yeah.
Or that's not for sure. I don't.
Right.
But it was summer because we went there and didn't get out of school for it. I'm pretty sure.
And his name was David Grubbs, G-R-U-B-B-S, if you want to look it up. David Grubbs.
Yeah.
Wow. So horrible.
Oh, and it's so true. That town is very quaint and everything about it is very delightful and almost whimsical. So the idea that there was just a terribly violent murder is horrible. Okay. We're going to stay in Oregon for this. My first hometown here.
Awesome.
Oregon. Well, I'm not going to read you the subject line.
Okay.
It just says at the beginning, you know who you are.
Love it.
Well done.
Love it.
And in the late 1970s, early 1980s, I lived and went to college in Portland, Oregon with my BFF. When we needed to cut loose, we would frequent one, if not more, of the many taverns in our area. Mm. The one that we enjoyed was the Faucet, which is the fucking greatest name for a bar.
What the fuck?
How good is that? It had large TVs tuned to football, cheap beer, and a good-looking bartender.
Amen.
Right? During that time, I shamelessly flirted with every bartender at every establishment we frequented in the hopes of getting either a free drink or service before everyone else at the bar.
Oh, yeah. I have never flirted with a bartender. I've always been like, they get the top-notch people at the bar. They don't want my fucking bullshit. You know? Like, a bartender doesn't want to date me. It's like...
Well, I always just figure... whatever's going on with them personally, a bartender doesn't have the time to fuck around with me.
Yeah.
So if I can include a witty rejoinder, is that the word?
Is that a word?
In the order, that's fine.
Yes.
But nothing extra, because they're just like, I need to make money from those people over there.
Yeah. Wait, staff and bartenders don't want your number, and they'll give you yours if they want to fucking talk to you.
Wait, give you
they'll
theirs.
Give you theirs.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Don't hit on. Don't hit on waitstaff and bartenders, please.
If a waiter gives you your phone number, that's actually a proposal of marriage.
You're actually legally wed to them if they can guess your number and give it to you.
Like, you have to marry them, common law, California law.
It's the law.
Okay. At the Faucet. At the Faucet, the bartender was Randy. This is such an 80s picture.
I love it. It's delightful.
Are there Randys anymore?
Oh, my God. I don't think so. You know what I was thinking about? Are there Robbies anymore? Remember when the cool guy was always Robbie? The like skateboarder surfer guy was Robbie.
Sure.
There's no more Robbies.
It might still be a family name, but the McKenzies are beating out the Robbies at least 10 to 1.
Definitely.
These are not real statistics, everybody. One night, okay, ooh, now it turns.
Okay.
One night, he asked me out.
Oh.
And, all caps, for some reason, I said, I don't go out with people I don't know. Mm. Meaning someone with no references in my life, other friends or school or coworkers, etc. This was a complete lie. I was in my early 20s. It was the 80s. I went out with everyone.
Yes. I love when grown-ups write to us.
Yes. They know and they did it and there's no shame because everybody does it.
And they did it without cell phones and Google. So they did it. They fucking had to learn how to do it.
That was the other piece too. If you did go to a bar where you may have had a crush or been deeply in love with a bartender separate from your alcoholism, you would have to make it happen in that environment because there was no Facebook for him or you to stalk the other.
Totally.
If only we could go back to the time of no Facebook. Jesus. Anyway.
I miss bars. Okay.
He kept pressing and I kept retreating. I do not know why. Hmm. He was good looking. He was as nice as could be, but ... One night the phone rang. Yep. One that had a cord and was hanging on a wall. And it was Randy. He again asked me out and I again declined. When I asked my roommate how he got our number, she told me that she gave it to him because, quote, he seemed nice and he really wanted to go out with me. A few weeks later, I was watching the news in time to hear that the authorities had captured the I-5 killer. And when they showed him on film next to his gold VW, I yelled, isn't that Randy from the Faucet? You guessed it. It was none other than Randy Woodfield, the I-5 killer.
That's
rapist.
Like a fucking heavy hitter.
That's a big one. And
holy
he was,
shit.
He had been a professional football player. He was classic, part hair parted down the middle, 80s dude hot. He was.
Dude, this chick needs a fucking award.
For real. Okay, needless to say, anytime thereafter, my roommate would ask me for a favor, parentheses, driving to the airport, helping her move, babysitting. I would remind her of the time she gave our phone number. She gave our phone number to a serial killer. I joined the countless other people who have thanked you for your work.
Aww.
You too, Steven. During the pandemic. I especially enjoy the first parts of the podcast where the two of you are just so excited to be talking to each other. It's so true that you are talking about anything and everything. It's as if I'm sitting right there on that couch with you two and not quite so lonely in the pandemic.
Aww.
Also, Karen, Love on the Spectrum and Cardinal are fantastic. And thanks so much for those recommendations. Remember, as bad as this gets, you are not alone. Stay sexy and flirt with only certain bartenders. Cindy.
I feel like Cindy, our big sister, who's like, I lived Cindy. It. Let me tell you what to do. That's so also, crazy.
Cindy is an 80s name. Also, Cindy. And along with Randy and the rest and Robbie.
Cindy is an 80s. Oh, my God.
Cindy, you nailed that. Thank you so much. And holy shit. Like, you must feel like you have a superpower.
You do.
Because, yeah, because you do. Because that instinct. I mean, I hope it has served you well in every other way, because that was an unbelievable.
That's I'm just in awe. Okay.
Be like Cindy. Here's our new slogan. Be like Cindy and go with your gut.
And don't date bartenders.
And be from the 80s.
Okay. Hometown story. Okay. It just starts. Okay. Look. I was listening to last week's minisode, and you asked for trying to kill your sibling stories. Mm-hmm. I shot coffee out of my nose and almost drove off the road. Finally, I have something to tell Karen in Georgia. I am 5 years older than my sister, and to say that I was furious when she was born is an understatement. Having been an only child up until this point, I was less than thrilled to have to share the spotlight. Well, she came out kicking and screaming and would not stop screaming for the first 9 months of her life. And then in parentheses, it says colic. And then it says insert eye roll here. Like, she made up the colic. She was faking it.
She's like, colic isn't real.
Yeah. 9 months of this was long enough to instill in me a need to rid the earth and our family of this wretched child ASAP. Mm-hmm. My first attempt was when she was maybe 2 years old. I took her upstairs and convinced her to eat a ton of children's grape Tylenol. That's like legit attempted murder.
Yes, it is.
And then it says, I'm too old to have been deterred by childproof packaging. Oh my God. Wow. Needless to say, she got through about a quarter of the bottle before my dad walked in, rushed her to the bathroom, made her vomit, and then called poison control. Mm-hmm. And then it says, oh well. A few years later, being inspired by Shel Silverstein, I decided if I couldn't kill her, then I would rehome her. I got out my little red wagon and made her sit in it and made a sign out of cardboard that read, one sister for sale, 25 cents. I sat in my lawn chair and waited. We lived in a quiet cul-de-sac with no real traffic, so I didn't have any takers. Our grandmother lived across the street from us at the time. She called my mom and then came out of her house, paid me a quarter, and then took my sister with her. At least I made a profit on that attempt.
Hell yeah.
Finally, I figured if my parents got mad enough at her, they would get rid of her for me. So after my mom's brand new expensive drapes got delivered and installed, I snuck into the living room and cut a big hole in the corner of the drapes. And fucking, we had to get drapes put in the house. That shit is not fucking cheap. It's ridiculous.
Hell of expensive.
It's a fucking scam. Okay.
Yeah.
No, they look beautiful. Okay. Then I planted the scissors in her bedroom and waited. My mother was so livid, I thought she would have a stroke. I simply replied, Beth did it. And then proceeded to find the evidence in her room. For the first time in my life, my mom believed me and my sister was in trouble. Not a huge deal, and she was only four, but it was a win in my book. I carried this secret with me for 35 years until I finally admitted at a family dinner that it had been me that had cut those drapes all those years before and had never been more thrilled than to have gotten away with it. Now I am an upstanding, for the most part, citizen, mother of two boys, true crime addict who has never felt the need to frame my sister or anyone else again. But my stories are legendary in our family. And whenever a friend of my sister meets me, they say, oh, you're the one who tried to kill her. Yep. Needless to say, after all of my countless torturing of my sister, my parents never felt the need to have more children.
Yeah.
Love you both so much. And you are the glue holding this epic shit show of a world together for me. Stay sexy and don't try to sell your sister in front of your grandparents' house. Kate.
Kate. Oh, my shit.
It makes me feel a little better about my sister. I don't think she tried to kill me, you know?
Yeah, you'd remember, I bet. Right? Or, yeah, you would have buried it deep. Either way. Either way. That's so hilarious. I also love that each thing is more devious than the last. I think the sales one is the lightest.
Yeah. I think straight up trying to poison her is poison really is dark.
But then the real Hitchcockian setup of the drapes unnerves me deeply. Then the fact that she didn't go, oh, when we turn 21, I'm going to cop to it. She waited fucking 35 years.
I love it.
I'd like to hear from Beth.
Yes. And
wait, is that her sister's name?
Yes, Beth. Let's hear Beth's side of this for
sure. Let's hear Beth's side of this for sure. Because she's like, oh, I was hospitalized long ago. I've been in a straitjacket this whole time.
This actually wasn't funny.
Actually, there is no Beth. This was an only child.
Oh my God.
Okay. Again, I don't want to read you the subject line, even though it's good. Hey, y'all. New York in the 70s was rough. Mm. The Son of Sam was on a rampage. Vietnam was happening. And honestly, serial killers were really coming to the forefront everywhere. So shit was not okay. People also got into the habit of making phone calls to random numbers and breathing heavily into the receiver in order to get off sexually. Mm. I mean, I don't want to yuck someone else's yum.
Oh my God. That is the most beautiful saying I've ever heard. Don't yuck someone else's yum. I love that. Do you hate it?
No, I love it.
Okay.
I love it. But consent translates even through phone lines.
Yes.
That's really what it's all about.
Adults.
At the end of the day. Okay. Anyways, my mom, her brother, and her mom, Elaine, were living on Staten Island, and my grandpa was serving in Vietnam as an army chaplain. So she was feeling pretty vulnerable as she was all alone with two young kids in the same state that a lot of crazy stuff was happening in. These calls were coming in on a near daily basis, and it was pretty upsetting as well. Well, Elaine was fed up with these deviants, so she came up with an action plan. It was so simple and effective. She would answer the phone and immediately blow a regulation coach's whistle as loudly as she could into the receiver.
That's genius. That's genius.
And she would keep blowing the whistle until they hung up.
That is so genius. Okay.
It's such a quick, easy solution. She would keep this whistle next to the phone, so it always was on standby. My mom said that she'd be playing outside with her brother, and they would just randomly hear the whistle blow, and they knew Elaine was causing some hearing damage to some immature individual's ears and really killing some people's vibes. My grandma was such a strong woman, and she went through so much in her lifetime. She taught me the value of kindness and how to be a strong woman myself. She passed away in 2004 from cancer, and she has been missed so dearly. Mm. On my wedding day this past March, right before COVID hit, I was given her wedding ring to wear as my something old. Ooh, that got me.
That's beautiful.
Got me good. And knowing that she was there with me made the day even more memorable. It was even more meaningful as my grandpa, her husband, married my husband and I.
Aww.
Oh, because he was the army chaplain.
Yeah.
Oh, he made it through Vietnam. Oh, thank God.
Yeah.
When he looked down at that ring, he tearfully expressed how proud she would be of us and that he misses her every day. I hope this story gives you some hope that love does exist, even in this crazy, unpredictable world. Love you all so much. Thank you for all you do. SSDGM Heather from Colorado. P.S. Please say something nice or give some good news to a teacher if you know one. Mm. We could really use some encouragement right now.
Damn, that's beautiful.
Oh, Heather.
Oh, touching.
That was great.
So touching.
The only thing that could have made that better, she looked down and she was given her regulation coach's whistle, her grandmother's coach's whistle.
What if, like, you're now husband and wife, and he puts the coach, the whistle around her neck, like a necklace, you know?
Around both of their necks. So they're trapped.
Yeah.
Their heads are trapped together. And then he whistles in both of their ears. This is what love is like. It's exciting and painful.
It's deafening. Love is deafening.
You know it's real when painful. You can't hear and you're panicking.
That was beautiful.
That was great.
Georgia, have you ever been blown away by the most simple dish at a restaurant, like perfectly scrambled eggs?
Oh my God, yes, Karen. And then all I want to do is make that dish at home and eat it every day.
Well, you probably could, as long as you have the chef's secret ingredient, Made In cookware.
Made In was created to bring restaurant quality performance kitchenware to home chefs around the world.
For years, they've built their business by supplying restaurants and top chefs with high-end cookware. Some of Tom Colicchio's most treasured dishes at his restaurant Kraft are made in Made In.
Whether you're cooking for professional critics or just the critics you live with, your meals will benefit from the quality of Made In products.
Like their carbon steel cookware, it combines the best of both cast iron and stainless steel clad, so it's rugged enough for grills or an open flame. It's the MVP of summer cookouts and cook-ins. What I really love about Made in Cookware is that it actually makes something like having a Memorial Day barbecue much more convenient, because you can keep everything on the grill. If you need to throw, say, a pan of garlic up on the top while you're grilling your steaks on the bottom, it's strong enough, durable enough to do that.
If you want to take your cooking to the next level, remember what so many great dishes have in common. They're all made in, Made in.
Save up to 25% this Memorial Day from May 18th through May 27th when you visit madeincookware.com.
That's M-A-D-E-I-N cookware.com. Goodbye. Hey, Karen, you know that feeling when you're stressed out and your heart starts to pound and your mind is racing?
I do. I know it well.
Well, while there's no cure for stress, therapy can help shape your response to it. And since May is Mental Health Awareness Month, there's no better time to try Talkspace.
When you sign up for Talkspace, you'll receive a personalized match with a therapist or psychologist, typically within 48 hours.
Forbes rates Talkspace as the number one online therapy platform, plus their licensed professionals are in network with almost all major insurance companies.
Once you meet your therapy goals, or if you want to cancel for any reason, Talkspace will provide you with a prorated refund for unused time. I feel like these days people understand the importance of therapy, but the difficult part is just taking that first step. It took me months to make my first therapy appointment. I was so scared. I had a lot of ideas in my head about it. And that's why I think Talkspace is such a good idea, because making it so approachable will just get you there sooner. Then you can actually get in there, figure out what you need, talk to an actual professional, and be on your way to solving some stuff that you might want to solve.
To celebrate Mental Health Awareness Month and the power of talking it out in therapy, Talkspace is offering our listeners $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80.
Go to Talkspace.com/MFM and use promo code SPACE80.
To match with a licensed therapist today, go to Talkspace.com/MFM and enter promo code SPACE80 and get $80 off your first month and show your support for our show.
That's Talkspace.com/MFM. Enter promo code SPACE80.
Goodbye.
There's something about the sound of an old-timey cash register that really takes me back.
I know. It sounds like someone is about to hand me an ice cream cone, but it also sounds like we just sold some merch.
That's right. And if you're a Shopify user like us, you know that this sound means you just made a sale.
Shopify has helped millions of businesses sell their products online, but did you know they also offer the same support for brick and mortar stores?
From accepting payments to managing inventory, they have everything you need to sell in person. So give your point of sale system a serious upgrade with Shopify.
Shopify POS tracks sales across all your locations. That way, you'll always know what you have in stock and where.
They also provide reliable tech that fits your unique retail needs, like turning a tablet into a credit card reader.
And if you're looking to reach new customers, check out Shopify's marketing tools. They're easy to use, and they integrate with all social media platforms.
With Shopify, we have a powerful partner for managing our sales. And if you're a business owner, you can too.
Do retail right with Shopify.
Sign up for a $1 per month trial period today at shopify.com/murder. And here's the important note, that promo code is all lowercase.
So go to shopify.com/murder and take your retail business to the next level.
That's shopify.com/murder. Again, don't forget, the code is all lowercase.
Goodbye. All right. My last one is about Treasure, from Action Park. And it's an Action Park story to boot.
A Treasure Action Park combo story?
I can't get enough of these Action Park. Oh, and the photo of the woman from last week's Action Park story where she hit her face at the bottom of the pool and her dad took photos of it.
Oh, yeah.
We got the photo. So, Stephen, can we put that in the Instagram or Twitter of week's episode? Just remind me. Awesome.
Okay, cool. Oh, that's great.
Yeah, it's fucking swollen. Okay. Treasure. Hi. I thought I missed my window to send you my Action Park story, but it seems that window will never close for you too.
We broke that wall open. There's not even a window anymore.
That's right. So here goes. In the mid-80s, two of my older cousins spent their summers lifeguarding at the wave pool at Action Park, aka the Grave Pool. And it's true. 3 fucking people died in it.
No.
Yes.
I still haven't watched the documentary.
Spoiler.
I have to.
Sorry.
No, that's okay. But I mean, fuck. Jesus.
Yeah.
Jesus.
It's crazy. Wave pools terrify me. And it's terrifying. Okay.
Yeah, it's horrible.
The Christmas after their first summer at Action Park, their family of 6 kids and my aunt and uncle came to visit my family in New Hampshire for Christmas. At our house, there were three of us kids, plus my mom and grandmother. So when we were all together, it was pretty chaotic and festive. It was not tradition for us cousins to give anyone gifts at Christmas. We left all the gifting to the adults. So,
smart.
But that Christmas, we all had mysterious packages under the tree that were signed from our cousins, the lifeguards.
Oh.
When we opened the packages, they all had watches in them wrapped in tissue paper. Any guesses where the watches came from?
Oh my God.
It turns out that every night after the guests left Action Park and they turned the waves off, all 12 of the lifeguards who were on duty, and then it said, that's right, 12,
oh,
which tells you how fucking dangerous it was.
Yeah.
Would race down to the bottom of the pool where the giant sucking filters were and fish out all the treasure. They got wallets, loose cash, jewelry, many, many wedding rings, and watches upon watches. I don't remember the details of every watch they gave out at Christmas that year, but I know that my brother and I each got a Casio calculator watch.
Ooh, shit.
The bomb in my eighth grade algebra class. And my grandmother got a brown Swatch, which she wore well into the 2000s. We loved the hell out of those watches. I don't think I need to tell you that the idea of a pool that is capable of knocking watches off of people's wrists is not cool. I have never and will never go in a fucking wave pool. And then it's SSDGIAGP. Stay sexy and don't get caught in a wave pool. GP. Goddamn pool. Yeah. Libby from Northampton, Massachusetts.
Wow, Libby.
How cool.
That is...
It's like Christmas shopping at the bottom of a wave pool.
That is like the scariest, worst story with this icing, this delicious cream cheese icing of free watches and cash.
Yeah. Oh. And wedding rings. So good.
Everything about that fucking theme park, uh-huh, if you haven't seen, is it called Action Park or Class Action Park?
I think it's called Action Park. Let me look. And you know who, what's his name's in it, that comedian?
Chris Gethard?
Chris Gethard is so funny in it.
Yeah, it's Class Action Park.
Class Action Park.
Okay, great.
On HBO. He says this thing at the end of it where it's like, you know, as adults, we all, when we're drinking beers with our friends, we all laugh about it, but we also all cry about it at our therapist's office.
Yeah.
He's like, it's the neglect is real.
It's the height of it was the 80s, right? The mm-hmm. early mid 80s. Mm-hmm. Everybody cared about, like, it was like, now we're into Wall Street and you kids can go fuck yourselves. Like,
yeah,
no one cared.
No, you weren't precious yet. We weren't precious.
No, we weren't precious in the eyes of God or our parents. Right. Okay, I'm gonna end with a psychic aunt story.
Ooh, fun.
Hey, KNG. Growing up, my dad told me lots of stories about my great aunt May. I also had a great aunt May.
Oh,
she had she was a San Francisco native, but she had a weird accent that many San Francisco natives have that makes them sound like they're from New York.
Huh.
So she was big into crafts and mm-hmm. she would make a lot of pies. And she told my dad one time, and he does it every time because my dad loves making apple pie. And my Aunt May told him the secret. You stick your finger in the middle.
Ew.
Apparently that's, you vent the center of the pie.
Yeah.
Stick so that your finger in the middle.
Has a place to escape and it doesn't get soggy. Oh, I love it. Stick your finger in the middle.
Aunt May. Okay. But we're back to this Aunt May.
Okay.
She was well known for her sense of humor, her outrageous fashion sense, mm-hmm. parentheses. We're talking multiple layers of diamond necklaces and rings.
Hell yes.
Close parentheses. And the fact that she had a knack for predicting the future. In her childhood, she had been a well witcher. That's someone who holds a branch or some shit and can tell you where to dig for water.
Wow.
She made her fortune repeatedly winning at horse races. She won so much, in fact, that not her nor her four husbands, and then again in parentheses, Auntie May seemed to always pick well-off men that died young.
Oh.
Okay.
Shit.
Well, she knew the future.
Yeah, yeah.
Close parentheses. Never had to work to support the family. On top of all that, whenever she was bored, she would read tea leaves for her friends and neighbors in exchange for cash or juicy gossip about the people she hated.
Yes.
As my father tells it, all these psychic charades came to a stop when she was in her mid-30s and her best friend Anna came over for a tea leaf reading. Auntie May picked up Anna's cup to read it and abruptly stopped, insisting that she wasn't feeling well and sending Anna home without telling her what the leaves had said. The second her best friend was out the door, she called my grandmother and told her, and I quote, "Jean, there was nothing but death in that goddamn cup." As it turns out, on her way home from Aunt May's house, Anna got into a terrible car accident, and less than 20 minutes after leaving, she died. Aunt May had a lot of regret about not telling Anna her fortune, and even more for sending her out of the house to her death. After that day, she quit reading tea leaves, although she still went to the racetrack every week to, quote, keep up the lifestyle that she was accustomed
to. You gotta have hobbies in your older age.
A freaky fact. Great Auntie May lived until the day I was born, May 13th, 1994, and passed away within 20 minutes of my birth. My family likes to joke that some of her psychic spirit lives on in me. I don't know about that because I have yet to win a fucking thing in my life, but this sentiment is very nice to think about. SSDGM, but also just tell me what the fucking tea leaves say, Lisa.
Oh, I was hoping her name would be May. It's funny that she was born in May and then May died in May.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's right.
That's,
I know,
crazy.
Isn't that good? Mm-hmm. I think there's lots of more stories like this of people who are psychic and they just don't tell other people because they don't want to be bothered and they don't want to be burdened with that information, but they have it.
And then I feel like everyone's waiting for you to be wrong too. They like, people want to prove you wrong once you say that you're psychic, you know?
Right. Yes, for sure.
Right. Good batch. Yeah. That was a good batch.
I know. Oh, that was a good chunk of stories for everybody.
Lots of good characters in that one. There were Cindy and Robbie. Send us your stories, no matter what age you are. There's no age limit to ride this wave pool of of hometowns.
Yep. You're tall enough. Get on this ride.
Do you have other like horror stories from what are they called?
Action Park?
Not Action Park, but like amusement parks and stuff.
Oh, any amusement park. Sure.
Tell us the amusement park story. I know someone, when I was little, I found out they got killed on Space Mountain at Disneyland and I refused to ride it until I was like a teenager. It's terrifying.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Are they one of the people that stood up on Space Mountain?
I think the bar just wasn't down all the way and they fucking flew out. And it's pitch black in there. It's terrifying.
It's horrible.
So you feel like you're going faster than you are. It's terrifying.
What if I just burst into tears as I said that? my throat felt weird. And then I'm like, I don't like that ride.
I don't like that ride.
All right. Well, write to us and you know, be cool, stay sexy,
and don't get murdered. Goodbye.
Elvis, you want a cookie?